You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Oh, I figure we gotta open up with something a little bit groovy. 7 p.m. on the East Coast on the night that we've all been waiting for, or the night that we always have wanted to end, and for so many goddamn reasons, there's not enough time before midnight. Vermont has just called for Clinton. Worthless state. I mean, cheddar cheese, who cares? It's going to be one of those nights, okay? Kentucky was just called for Trump. Indiana just called for Trump. It's going to be a little bit of a staccato type of thing. We'll see where Virginia goes. But there's a few things I wanted to talk about tonight. And we got you guys chilling out on the night that we just don't want to face, but we're going to have to. Now, what's the most frustrating to you about facing today? What is it? Really, be honest. And give me a call. You can Skype in at Zen Live TV. Zenlive TV. And you can Skype in there and tell us what's up. What's the thing that has hit you most? I won't say your name if you don't want to. Just call in. And what the hell has hit you the worst? Here's the thing that hit me. I realize that I am kind of walking around a little bit stoned. Okay? And I'm sober. I just feel like everything was a blur. The only time that I had any clarity over the last couple of days is when... Well, I mean, at least last days of the week when we're on air is when we go live for this broadcast. Because then you actually deal with the thing, at least I do, deal with the things that are constantly floating around and the equations you're constantly working out and the news that you're always checking up on and the pieces you're fitting together and the storyline you're building and the history you're cross-checking and the philosophies and all this. You put things together and it really, if you're one of those people, and I know there's many of you out there, if you're one of those people, you know how much of a clouding feeling it is. I forgot to wish Mike happy birthday yesterday. Okay? My best friend. I forgot to wish him happy birthday. I forgot it was his birthday. Because yesterday, November 7th, 2016, was nothing to me except the day before the election. And dealing with the blinding amount of ignorance all around us. A blinding amount. Oh, you can say, oh, this guy thinks that everybody around him is ignorant. What if he's the ignorant one? Right? No. Micro-macro, everybody. Micro-macro. On the micro, you all know, if you listen to this show on the regular, if you guys contribute to this network or this show or whatever the hell it is, all the conversations we have on or off the air, then we know what we're looking for. Yeah, we're a little bit biased, but it's not partisan at all. We're biased to a philosophical level. And what is the problem with our type of philosophical bias? The cruelty behind really asking the questions about what liberty is versus what is tyranny. what is freedom and what is independence. The line of thinking there and the history to support it, the experimentation that's been done with government here in the United States, all of our history here and in Europe, whatever the hell it is, you roll all that up into one. And it's really frustrating because, you know, I understand why a college freshman liberal gets really, really huffy and puffy about all the people that are starving in the world and all of the people who don't have health insurance and all this and that, and how we must do something. I understand that because I was a college freshman of, 12 years ago or something like that? What, 2003? Whatever. Something pathetic. Some pathetically long time ago now. But you tend to think that way when you don't understand where it all comes from and who it affects. And then the reasoning and the really deep questions to be asked about who has the right to take the property of others. And if you don't have the right to take the property of the person next to you by reaching into their pocket, then do you have the right by voting with other people for someone else with a gun to do it for you because you believe your idea was best and they didn't see it that way for whatever kind of reason that they had? Once you start looking at freedom, liberty, independence, what that is from a natural, like everybody deserves to have this, everybody deserves to be free to do whatever the hell they want to do, fail at doing it, and make sure that there's no man with a badge standing in their way from doing it. Now, in a stateless society, as we all know, in the libertarian paradise, the ANCAP paradise, you have non-aggressions principle, which is a governing philosophy without having to have rulers and people that enforce law on behalf of a centralized power. But the real problem here is that even if you're at that arena of thinking about what liberty is and what a free market is and what free association is and how that isn't isolationist, how if we it's not isolationist, it's just that within this boundary where that philosophy is alive and thrives, then things need to be controlled there. Because you look at the rest of the world where the opposite is true, where people say, no, we need to tax because we need to provide. But things only get worse. Financial crises only get worse. Corruption only increases because the more that you provide for somebody, the more that you provide for a nation, the greater the government has to be. And the greater the government is, that means you're employing more people. The more people you have, the more humanity you have to deal with. And what are some of the greatest flaws in humanity? Its tendency for corruption. Which is why the great question is, how do you form a government that is limited in what it can do, its function, and how it could be expanded, and how the people inside of even that limited government are checked and balanced and opposed and vetoed and blocked and filibustered and circumvented to no end? So that people remain free. The type of government we have is limited so that people with agendas are not able to impose it on other people. Right down to the way that we vote. You know, everybody talks about the Electoral College being something that is antiquated and it has nothing to do with the modern day and all that. It has everything to do with modern day. But the problem is, modern day doesn't care about the Constitution anymore. The most important amendment, speech. It is the first. It is the most important. But they're all equally important. And the 10th Amendment is just as important as the first when you think about the size and scope of government in relation to the country. And the 10th Amendment is states' rights. that whatever is not listed in the enumerated powers of the Constitution reverts back to the states. So other than what is in the Bill of Rights and the amendments, everything else is for the states. For 50 individual communities to experiment with and philosophize and try different things out to see what works best for that state, what works best for that country, to be honest. You want to look at the EU, okay? The European Union. And in America, the our version of that is the federal government, because we are a federal republic. So that's just pretty much it. But in essence, Florida is pretty much Italy. Okay? Georgia is Germany. That's what it comes down to. We just have 50. Okay? And that's the beauty of it all. Because if you have an idea about socializing this, socializing that, you're able to do, all you need to do is sell the idea and everybody sees the merit in it and you debate it properly. Then people will buy into it. You'll try it, and you would be able to do that. You would be able to do that. The federal government, though, needs to be limited so that it doesn't take every last one of those states and pushes it into the same mold and tries to adopt top-down, one-size-fits-all policy for a nation the size of a subcontinent filled with hundreds of millions of people with all different needs, wants, aspirations, all that shit. If a market is free, things will stay affordable. Things will stay competitive. And no, you're not going to get rid of poor people. But free markets have always been the best places to have the least amount of poverty and the most amount of, and the greatest middle class, as well as very wealthy people. But the thing is that in a free market, a healthy free market, there are so many ways to provide services for people who are impoverished or less fortunate. So many ways. And the greatest thing that comes into play when you give away things and you provide services for communities through free market means is that all of those good things that are attached to charitable work are alive and well, and it keeps a society healthy. How many times have we had that talk on this show about what is really taken out of the act of charity when it's done at the tip of a gun by the federal government and redistributed by that same government in the form of just faceless, loveless checks? That's just... Mike, can you please close that door? So, you know, there's so much that goes into my mind. What I want to say, that the curse of that is that once you understand that, once you're able to let go of college and let go of the utopia, the insectopia, you know, the funny thing about Bug's Life and insectopia, or is that ants? That's ants. The thing about ants and insectopia is that zoom back, insectopia was really just a garbage can. It was really just a trash pile. To the bugs, it was amazing. It was a paradise. And that's usually what happens when you take any of those college freshman bubblegum unicorns and rainbows ideas and try to turn a country into a utopia of free education, free this, free that, low standards, open borders, selective enforcement of law, identity politics. That's softening. What does it turn into? It turns into a trash heap. And that's what we're becoming. We're becoming a trash heap. And the last 8 years of the dog whistle blowing of Barack Obama and his ilk, you just wait with the Hillary Clinton presidency. You wait. If you think if you think the that certain groups are becoming are coming under attack, and I mean people like me, a straight white male. I hate to say that because now even saying straight white male means something terrible these days. But the media the blogosphere narratives and the college narratives and the feminist narratives are so damaging. This far left kooky communist cultural Marxist where it's like somebody's just taking iron, what do they call it, those iron sponges. Like a Brillo?
Yes,
steel wool.
Steel wool.
It's like steel wool and turpentine and just we're just being everything that used to make Americans proud of all colors, of all backgrounds, our culture of freedom and our and how we became how we came here, how we became 21st century Americans. From 20th and 19th century Americans, 18th century. I mean, it's all being taken away. Holidays aren't fun anymore. You can't even express that you're on a holiday anymore. It's just time off. And everybody has to shut up. I don't know. It's sad, but that's what I see happening, and I think that's what's going to continue under this this woman, this Harridan, this very 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 evil woman. Okay, and if you think, oh, wow, I can't believe he's such a Trump supporter. No. Nope. If I can have a way to not have any of them, trust me, I would take that way tonight. I would take that way tonight. But such a terrible, terrible woman. And she's willing to use and discard anything. Anything. I mean, he is too, but in different ways. You know. You talk about somebody, once again, free market, compared to somebody who's nothing but public sector. All right, so that's it. That's it. So what do I have today? The phone line is on. You can call in at any time. And I voted at like, I don't know, 9:30 or something like that. And that's after having to teach the man who was working the voting station, the poll I went to, how to look for something alphabetically. He didn't know how to search for a name alphabetically. I said, no, he kept telling me, I'm not in the book, I'm not in the book. I said, well, you're, because, you know, Valbiro, V-A-L-B. He's at V-A-L-E. Through V-A-L-G or something like that. And I'm going, yeah, but no, but it's V-A-L-B. V-A-L-B. And he goes, yeah, you're not in here. I said, that's a G. He goes, he said, well, yeah. Well, yeah, but I have to ask where your name is, though, because it's not here. I said, no, can go a couple of pages before that, please. And he went, like, and I said, no, two more, one more. There I am. V-A-L-B. He didn't even know what the fuck alphabetical order was.
Perfect English?
No, he was not. He had it. So it's just like they don't even understand this. These are the people that are doing our polls, the voting. So, you know, so we find my name. I go and I take out my driver's license. I offer my ID. And the same guy goes, oh, no, we're not allowed to ask for your ID. And I said, so I could just say I'm me. And he kind of like with a timid giggle went, yeah.
Fucking jerk.
It's not his fault. These are the standards that we're under. Now that's because we're in New York and it's a democratically held stronghold. So anything with a heartbeat will be given a chance to vote if they walk into a polling station at any time of the day, okay? I mean, that's it. They'll put a picture of Hillary and Donald Trump on the ground. They'll put a carrot stick in front of Hillary, and then they'll let a rabbit out and see where the rabbit goes to. And if it goes to Hillary, the rabbit gets a vote for Hillary. That's what they'll do. Frank, that's absurd. I know it is. All this is absurd, though. You know, and what did Benjamin Franklin say? Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty, however, and we just spoke a lot about liberty, is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. Okay? That's someone saying, back the fuck off. We're getting salad tonight. Okay? So, you know, that brings up the Electoral College. And I wanted to bring up the Electoral College because everybody said it's an antiquated system. Well, it's still very, very necessary because they say, oh, it should be one person, one vote, and this is not democratic. And that's the exact reason why we have it. Because democracy. Now, I know that all of you people out there who are especially the ardent liberal types, and I keep forgetting to stop calling them liberal, but you leftist types who are always so concerned about everybody's voice being heard that you never stop to think about how all of your ideas squelches out people's voices from being heard. All but yours and the people that are underneath your umbrella of all types of acronyms and letters and slogans and buzzwords and flags and all this shit. Everything that you got, that because there's no good ideas there. There's just crusading. Constant crusading. Well, thankfully, because of the Electoral College, presidents actually have to go to places like South Dakota, Idaho, Montana, make stops, get to know people, and try to appeal to the greater whole of the country, and not just New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas. You want four cities, making it so that the president is only. It's like you have to. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Four cities will pretty much decide everything for everybody if there was no Electoral College. That's the nutshell of it. Pretty much there are electors that equal the amount of senators and House of Representatives and representatives in the House. And I think every state has three electors just to start off. Because like all things, if you study your history, the greatest problem that we had in the beginning of this country with the 13 colonies coming together, pretty much 13 countries coming together, and did not want to to pretty much congregate or become a nation and start anything. That's why the Articles of Confederation were completely inadequate. We couldn't even pay off our Revolutionary War debt because there was no established centralized authority to even lay a tax over one of the states to pay their share of the war, of all the costs of the war. So, of course, some of the arguments and some of the things that are brought up is state size, population, and how that state is represented in Congress. And how to not only limit the overrepresentation and the power of larger states, but also to protect the voices of states like Rhode Island. So everybody talking about this one person, one vote thing, once again, probably out of pure ignorance, because nobody is explaining this to kids anymore. And adults my age, because it passed me by. But thankfully, after a certain amount of time, I went out and I just became interested in it, and I wanted to learn about it. But people aren't generally looking for this stuff, and kids are definitely not being taught this by anybody. So of course they come up and they look at something that looks weird, and they say it sounds weird, and why doesn't my vote count? And it should just be everybody raising their hand and seeing who has the most hands up, because it was never explained. And when something is unexplained and when it's confusing, naturally, you don't want any part of it. You think it's stupid. You think it should go away. Until what? I mean, I used to think the soccer was stupid because all I knew was baseball and football. Then I watched a couple of World Cups, and I at least got some respect. I said, okay, this is not stupid. I just didn't understand it. And that's the tragedy about all this stuff. I think that you have a lot of people, because looking at now, there's a lot of sick people on Facebook. A lot of sick people. And it's not just that Facebook made them sick. They were always sick people. But Facebook actually made them think like their voices matter. And they have to tell everybody everything that comes into their head constantly. But the problem for me is that aside from the vast majority of crazy people out there who are making asses of themselves and they just don't know it. They just don't know it. And in a couple of weeks when this is all over, it'll be just like the New Year's resolution people where they go to the gym for 3 days and then they give up on their fat asses. But the real winners stick it out. They try to understand. They try to evolve. What the hell do you need? There's no evolution in a person when you say, well, this is what I am. At age 15, I'm a Democrat. And then you never stray. What the fuck is that? Or a Republican either. Because they're both not, they both don't represent liberty. You know, one is the queen spider of Marxism in the United States, and the other one is the fake opposition party that jerks themselves off instead of doing anything or not doing anything. That's it. You don't need anything out of it. They're fake. It's not real. This is all bullshit. These are people who only know how to do one thing, and they like the job that they're in, and they plot together, they scheme together to keep it all in balance, even though they theoretically oppose each other. They keep the field in play. They keep their jobs open. They build up fan bases and Twitter bases. I told Bernie Sanders today. I mean, I told him. But every time he tweets, I like to be one of the first people to tweet back so people see my comment first when I rip into him. And he said something about this and that. He's trying to make some kind of poetic stand. I said, my man, you should have started a Patreon account while you still can, because after tomorrow, you are such a thing of the past. You watch in a couple of years. You remember Bernie Sanders? You remember that whole thing? You are nothing. You're nothing. You took people for a ride. Ron Paul got people to read. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I will say about this, even if Trump loses tonight. He's having a Ron Paul effect in a way. Don't go crazy, especially Max in the chat room. I thought I saw Max there. Don't go crazy. In a way, and let me explain myself. I thought that the greatest thing that Ron, I knew Ron Paul was not going to win, but it was a beautiful, beautiful ride, and it was awesome seeing him just drop kick people at the debates for as long as he was on. It was great seeing him win delegates, and it was great. It was great to see. It wasn't great to see the media ignore him, okay? But at the same time, look at what's happened 4 years later. Now, we said, okay, we're going to try to do things the nice way or the hard way. Ron Paul would have been the nice way. Donald Trump is the hard way. And let me just also say that Ron Paul, I believed, had to stay in. He was important that he stayed in the race in 2012 because for as long as he was in the race and he was getting media attention and he was on the debate stage, he was having really good exposure with people who needed to be exposed to something worthwhile. Liberty, the Constitution, and how the Constitution allowed this country to become the place where people from all over the world, regardless of how they worship, regardless of how they think, they all were ambitious and they all wanted the personal freedom and they wanted independence. It was a great time. Now, Donald Trump had done something similar in a way where now that he's been able to actually ride it to Election Day, he has been able to expose other things. The sickening level of political correctness we have. He's been able to expose, and anybody else, like a Mitt Romney, would have been very timid with what they talked talked about with any of these WikiLeaks, the DNC leaks, Project Veritas, all that stuff. Donald Trump has been the perfect mouthpiece and spokesperson for WikiLeaks and exposing the real ugliness that is controlling the world and controlling this country in particular. Now, he may not win tonight, but he got so much more of the valuable television time we wish Ron Paul did. So that is the only way I can compare them, because the longer either of them stayed in the race, the more we got emboldened to be able to call out bullshit when we see bullshit. Okay, we didn't have a lot of very deep philosophical talks, and we didn't have very big talks on policy. We had other things. Let's see what Gadget Doc has to say. What's going on, man?
Hey.
I see North Carolina, Ohio, and West Virginia close in 2-1. Polls.
No, it doesn't.
Polls are closed,
now,
it says.
Wrong. North Carolina is still open.
Okay.
That's why I called. All right. So there were some voting irregularities in Durham County,
mm-hmm.
which is a very liberal county. They have problems with computers. So they have extended in two precincts, Bethesda and the Rutan Club at Cold Mill Church Road, until 8:30. Now there's six other precincts that have been extended 20 to 45 minutes, depending on how long they disrupted by the software problems. So no, North Carolina is not closed, and this is where they're bringing the fix in my opinion.
You really think so, in North Carolina?
Yeah, they tried to bring in the fix in Wake County in 2012, but they announced that the results had gotten in before they were able to kind of skew the results back in 2012.
Got you. So listen, we see that more states are being called right now. Trump wins West Virginia. It's up to like 24. He had Trump 24 delegates and Clinton 3 right now. Obviously, that means nothing. it means nothing, but it's good to see.
Well, apparently the Republican won South Carolina.
Okay.
For the Senate.
As long as Congress is kept exactly the way it is, I mean, it's the only fighting chance. It's the only fighting chance.
Yeah, honestly, they're probably... Wow, that's interesting. Trump's ahead in Florida, according to NBC News. I'm kind of watching you and watching them at the same time. Georgia is definitely ahead for Trump. With 1% in, it's 73-25 for Clinton. So,
it
again,
says Florida. Wait, Florida is Trump by 0.7? 0.7.
Yeah.
If that finished like that, that would probably be a recount, right?
Probably. I think you have to win by. It's been a while. It's been 16 years since I've had to pay any attention to real Florida politics.
Uh huh.
I think it was 2 or 3% that you had to win the state by before there was an automatic recount.
Okay. Well, hold on a second. You know, Gadget Doc, keep calling in when new things happen, okay? I want to take this call from Max.
Right, I'm out.
All right, later. Max Ancaparato from Colorado. What's going on, man? Thoughts?
I had just been thinking about Karl Rove on Fox News right now.
You were watching him. He's so fat. His face is like a perfect oval.
It's like the oval, a turtle humanoid.
Like you know when you go to kindergarten and you start learning your shapes and they give you the stereotypical oval? It is the perfect oval, this man's head.
I think you could I would like to see the argument of perihelion and apogee for the ellipse that makes up his head. It's almost like a comet or something like that. But earlier in the day, he was just like an hour ago, less than that, talking about why wasn't the Bush camp in for Trump? And the reason was when Trump asked in May.
What do you mean? Because Bush is not the voting for Trump, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
And or even Bush.
And what was his answer?
Well, this cat's here. In the aftermath of the. Oh man, I don't even know. Did I not? Oh, I did accept with video. So in the aftermath of the 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center, Donald Trump did at some point say that Bush stood down. He had advanced knowledge of the attacks and he didn't act to prevent them. He said that Bush lied to get America into the Iraq War, uh-huh. and he supported John Kerry in 2004. Mm. And kind of going into a retrospect, if it doesn't pan out for Trump tonight, which you know, maybe we should be learning our Russian so that we know how to say please don't shoot me in Russian, maybe he should have been playing the I'm a true independent in the I just hijacked the Republican process.
Oh my God, I wish he said more. Listen, Max, we were sitting here watching all these debates and stuff, and I'm sitting here saying, oh my God, if I can just go into Donald's body and work him like a bio suit, this country, oh my God, the things that would have been said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
There's always things to fix and do differently, but just thought it was interesting discussion that Karl Rove brought up there.
Well, dude,
and maybe why he didn't make any friends in the establishment.
Hey, well, tonight is all there is, man. So as far as friends go, to hell with that. Everybody's gonna have some new things to do tomorrow morning. So, dude, thank you so much for the call. Like I told Gadget Doc, if anything else happens, just call on in.
Oh, I will say that there's been some irregularities in Colorado voting already. I have one friend who was trying to vote in Boulder County. I'm in Jefferson, just south of that right now. But in Boulder County, they said that the computers went down and they had no paper ballots on hand for people to use.
They should all be in paper ballots. They should all be paper ballots. Okay. Mm. All right, man. Well, thank you. Keep calling in.
All right.
Later. All right, everybody. So let me take a real quick break right there. Oh, no. I forgot my thank you list for Patreon. Fuck me, man.
You're fired.
Is there a way that I can access it on here? Well, in either case, everybody, please go to patreon.com/ quite frankly. I would love for you to be my boss. I'd love for you to help me expand this show, to be able to bring more staff on, more production quality, to be able to get better, bigger and better guests, to always have something going on, and eventually to travel with the show. Because, of course, it's not just about politics. We know how to talk politics. We know how to kill ourselves. Okay, we know how to work inside the laboratory and put our hands into the incubator and touch the politics and examine it and dissect it, open it up and deal with its innards. But aside from that, we have to talk about better stuff soon. Okay, we're gonna get a little bit personal. We're gonna talk about things we've been reading. Okay, it's always gonna be news and headlines. If it's Hillary Clinton, there's going to be so much to be upset about for such a long time. And I know and here's the thing. Just getting back to what we were talking about in the beginning, about the cruelest hoax, about understanding and coming upon understandings of what liberty is and the Constitution and checks and balances, and being able to identify what true liberalism is and was in a classical sense. And then you look at all these people who are just such ice cream licking, lollipop sucking, just observer, just bleacher creatures. That's all they are, and they've got some idea of what the country is and what freedom is and what liberal and conservative is, and that's all that matters. And if you say anything else, they look at you like the person who doesn't understand soccer looks at soccer. They are confused. They think it sounds weird. They don't understand it, and therefore you are banished. In their terms, you're a bigot, and you're privileged, and you just don't understand, and all that stuff, and you shouldn't be allowed to speak. So you see how it's just human behavior recycles itself in so many different ways. It's so easy to figure people out. It's not even fucking funny. I'm going to need to be so inebriated. I don't want to be sober. I think I might have to have a drink at the 9 o'clock show. I don't know. Maybe a little smoke. I don't know. What's that going to do? It's going to get me. No, hold on. No.
It's a sativa.
No, we got to wait until we see what's going on.
Sour diesel's a sativa, bro, to help you concentrate.
We got to wait until a little bit. North Carolina and Ohio, too early to call. Well, according to Gadget Doc, that's because North Carolina is being swindled. Marianne Hart, chillin'. Renan Neenan, what's going on, Renan? Oh, Renan, absolutely. Rian Neenan, absolutely not. He said if Hillary Clinton was a man, she would not have become the nominee. If Hillary Clinton didn't have the power she had, she wouldn't become the nominee. It doesn't even matter about her gender. She would have been completely looked over if she didn't have the incubation that she has. Guys, the thing that gets me so upset is that the reason why you can't have a conversation with people anymore is because the media is not free. Because the people who have got the media, which is in the back pocket of these politicians, it's been exposed. Right there, we saw the Donna Brazile emails. We saw the DNC talking with newspapers from around the country, television networks from around the country. Pretty much, people were sending their op-eds and their articles to the DNC for approval before they were sending them to their editors. Guys, that's not a free press. You know, Michael Savage said something recently. He said that the problem with this country and the reason why we have so much problems is because the Fourth Estate, which is supposed to be the media, it's supposed to be this free juggernaut of people who want to keep those in power in check, to expose everything they see and to keep people honest. That's why the press needs to be free. Once you have state-run media, it's just like having the state investigate itself. It's not going to investigate itself. And not only that, they control public opinion by giving the half-digested narratives to the public to attack the dissenters for them. And those opinions that you meet face-to-face with people and they're like, I can't. And they just know what lines to throw at you. They don't understand. And that's the thing that kills me. That everything that was just revealed right now explains why they are the way they are. These people behind the scenes are talking about how to divide people up by race, by sexual orientation, how they really think about you behind closed doors, how they know how to hook you, how to keep you in place, what words you respond to best. I know the other side does it too, but the other side doesn't play. Our side, okay, remember, there is no other side out there. Republicans, Democrats, whatever. There's only a few diamonds in the rough out there. Our side of things, the liberty side of things, we don't see people as colors. We don't have a need for identity politics because equality and liberty is inherent in the philosophies that we espouse. And all this comes out And the hardest thing is to be able to tell somebody, say, hey, man, that's the way you are the way you are. Now, what is the fifth column? I said Michael Savage said the fourth estate has become the fifth column. Well, let's just go to Wikipedia. A fifth column is any group of people who undermine a larger group, such as a nation or a besieged city, from within, usually in the favor of an enemy or group or nation. So they pretty much take somebody down from within. The activities of a fifth column can be overt, you know, so pretty much out in the open, or it could be clandestine, which is secretive, black ops, which we know both are happening. We're seeing the shadow government that runs everything every time there's a new WikiLeak. But people think this is about Donald Trump and his run-ins with women and a doting grandmother who misplaced a couple of emails, and she has her faults, but come on. When you exist on that level of things, of course you don't get why people are saying you're nuts. But you don't care, because... So, there are forces gathered in secret that can mobilize openly to assist an external attack. This term is also extended to organized actions by military personnel. Clandestine fifth column activities can involve acts of sabotage, disinformation, or espionage executed within defense lines by secret sympathizers with an external force, i.e. Marxists. The people we were looking for in Hollywood all throughout the 40s and 50s and 60s that we should have kept looking for. Because once we took our foot off the gas, yeah, we held our political institutions in check for a couple of decades, for a couple of generations, but Hollywood got worse and worse. And the colleges got worse and worse. And now here we go. Here we are, social justice warrior land, where all of our history is poisonous, everything needs to be washed away, straight white males are bullshit whose opinions do not matter, women are superior to men instead of equal to men, and you can pick whatever gender you want any day of the week. They are making things so inconsistent and so confusing and so out of your mind. I mean, it's jarring how kaleidoscopic all this is. It's like we're living out an LSD hallucination. And once that becomes reality, you have no consistent grasp on anything. So that's the best I can put that together of why it's really frustrating to watch people who are pretty much the, I don't know. People think that they're like the sanest people in the asylum. They think that's good. Well, what are the things saying? Trump wins. Oh, these are all the same states. No other states have been called yet?
I don't think so. Right now, it's still in...
Still in what?
Kind of a turnaround, yeah. Polls are closed, but nobody's projecting anything yet.
Because they got to rig it.
Yeah, they haven't rigged it first. They haven't rigged it yet.
You have to rig it.
Mike May, how was your voting experience today?
My voting experience was very interesting. It was definitely one of the first times that I actually had an enjoying time with my father. We went out together. And it was very patriotic today.
Oh, we saw that.
Yes.
Your father's the best.
Sent you the picture.
Your father's great. So great.
So, but it was good. I definitely experienced some of the same things that you experienced, where there was not necessarily any voter fraud, but more like
incompetency.
Voter incompetency. Yes, there were a few people that had to get their ballots voided because they didn't understand that a circle means you fill it in and a box means you check it off. But other than that, it went pretty smooth. Lines were not long at all, and got out of there in about 15 minutes.
Gadget Doc says right now, I hate to interrupt you, Mike. I heard every word you said. Gadget Doc said right now at 7:48, it isn't looking good for in Florida or North Carolina for Clinton. Rumble and Roar says Trump is totally running away with Georgia.
Fucking Georgia. Come on. What are you kidding me?
Up, and Fox comes up with their amazing countdown right now.
Polls in Florida and Pennsylvania close at 8 p.m. Close. In dude, if he takes Pennsylvania, Florida, and North Carolina, something's happening.
Yeah.
It's wishful
thinking.
Dude,
I'm pretty sure that Reagan was down by 9 points in the polls on the night of the election or some shit like that, bro. Something like that.
Oh, wait. Hillary just took Maryland and Illinois. Trump took Missouri.
Missouri.
And Kentucky, of course, is won by Rand Paul for the Senate. Oh, my God. I wish Rand Paul.
Tim Scott. The game.
So. If PA and Ohio go Trump, Teddy says. So, I don't know. We'll see. We will see. If he turns Pennsylvania, something's happening. Something's happening at that point. I'm just breathing it out of me. Hold on. Let's listen to some Mendelssohn. Let's go to the beginning of this. And let's just pretend that we are standing at the edge of cliffs. And now we jump off. And we're flying over the water. And we're like a seagull. And we feel the wind under our wings. Oh. Oh, this is nice. Oh, of course, Connecticut went for Hillary. Delaware went for Hillary. The first state to... You son of a bitch. Illinois, Hillary. Everyone's like, oh, good. She's winning states now. It's happening. You feeling excited, Hillary Clinton voters out there? You bet I am. I know. But...
Doesn't matter because it's rigged anyway.
Doesn't matter because we are much more awake than we ever have been. But let's take a really quick break. It's going to be about maybe 45 seconds or so. We're going to spill over into the 8 o'clock hour, so don't worry about it. I'm going to have to come by. And guys, is it okay if tomorrow I spend an extra couple of minutes loving each of you on the Patreon? Because I don't have my list here and I can't log in from my phone and get the patrons. So, can I give you a double time tomorrow? Let's go on a quick break. Just answer in the chat room. I'll see you there. All right, we're back. So now we're looking at this and say the polls close in 16 states at 8 p.m. and that Trump is losing by 3 points in Florida right now with 71% of the vote in. I don't know about that. It looks... What's that?
How many dead people voted in Florida?
I don't know.
It's rigged.
There's a lot of living dead people in Florida. So all that goes into one thing. But so far tonight, we've already had a great conversation. We've talked about our woes, or at least my woes. We had a call from Gadget Doc. We had a call from Max. And well, that government ethics. Top five issues on Facebook: government ethics, religion, racial issues, crime and criminal justice, and last, the economy. You don't fix the economy, everything else goes away. Yeah. In fact, the economy is the biggest part of the conversation, especially with some of those social justice and race issues, because it comes into funding and welfare and a lot of that stuff. Okay, you know where the narrative, you know where the conversations go. It's like we need to put our ducks in order. You want to have a greater conversation about how to spend a dollar and who to provide a service for? We need to make sure that we have a piggy bank that we can do something like that with. You get your house in order first, and then you can talk about all the other stuff. It's superfluous. It's superfluous. It's superfluous. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, let's look around some other stuff. Gadget Doc says, I was saying, Frank, you need to do the thank yous as a proper production commercial. I would love for actually the thank yous to be a credit roll at the end as well. But as far as a proper production commercial, if people keep contributing to the Patreon, and I pray that you guys do, because the more that happens, the more easy I rest with the time that I put into the show. I'm taking a risk. I balance everything out. I wouldn't do anything that was going to put my house in jeopardy. But speaking of my house, when I go home tonight, Lauren will be standing there next to the tree, and the tree will be up, and it will be lit up, and the Christmas tree will be up. We decided we had to go as early as possible, but it had to be officially after the election, because I didn't want the election results to ruin one day that the tree is around. I didn't want to feel that grief, that initial grief when the tree was up. So I'm going to feel it here. I'm going to go home and then just got to put myself into something else. You might think that's crazy. It's fine. There's no garland. There's no candy canes. Nothing like that. But just the tree, which is the greatest nightlight ever. And I will play Star Wars Battlefront tonight. And I will just pretend that I was running through the forest moon of Endor. And that I was flying a snowspeeder throughout Sullust or on Hoth. That's it. That's all I want. Rogi in the chat room, who's our good buddy from France, says Hollande from France is supporting Clinton. Of course, he's a socialist. He's a socialist. I'll tell you this. Let me tell you this. And here's another reason why I said, listen, who's dangerous when you had Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Trump in order? Hillary first, Bernie second, and Trump third. Okay? Out of the two, though, Hillary and Bernie, I would not be feeling this distraught tonight if it was Bernie Sanders as president. I wouldn't feel this distraught. Absolutely not. And here's another reason why. I really do believe that guy is one of those flower power children that does care about trying to do things and get programs installed on philosophical bases of trying to help people even though it's a disaster and it's doomed to fail from the beginning and it'll never work and he should never be president ever. But you think that Hillary Clinton cares about people? You're one of those deluded people, I'm sorry to say. Sorry to say. You're deluded. She doesn't care about people. Okay? You saw the bank they made when she was Secretary of State. Saw Chelsea Clinton even had her $3 million wedding paid for through Clinton Foundation money. I mean, these are... Come on. This is ridiculous. These... I don't care. Do not care. So let's move on to the next thing. What did we learn? We learned about the top 100 most damaging WikiLeaks over the last couple of weeks. We learned that the fourth estate is becoming the fifth column, and that's the biggest reason, the biggest war we have to face, especially after this, because it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop after this. We have to keep fighting, and we're going to. It's not going to stop. We know that university reports also show the odds. The odds of Hillary winning the primaries without fraud were 1 in 77 billion. 1 in 77 billion.
That's quite an anomaly.
The one thing that we also have here is... Forget Russia. Source claims who's really behind the WikiLeaks. We started learning that there's an internal war within different agencies. And of course, New Jersey goes blue. Massachusetts goes blue. Maryland goes blue. Delaware, we already said, goes blue. D.C. goes blue. And she also took Illinois, which is what? Is that 20 electoral votes? Pennsylvania is coming up next. We'll see. Ohio. Trump is losing Ohio, too. With 14% in, though. That's 14%. I don't know. You know, nobody's going to want to listen to this podcast tomorrow because they're going to have already lived this pain. It's going to be like watching a horror film. Like, you know, it's still earlier on in the film. You're like, oh, I know what's coming, and it's really going to suck. Well, I don't want to do this to you, but we're going to get off in about a couple of minutes, and I think that we're going to get back on at 9 o'clock. Going to take a little bit of a break, because the next hour is going to be whatever. I'm going to go live from this channel again at 9 o'clock. We're going to do two broadcasts, and if something happens sooner, we'll get on sooner. If you guys are obviously, you guys are subscribed to the channel, so with that you'll get a alert whenever we go live. So if we go live in 25 minutes, you'll know it. But that's all we'll do for tonight. I'll upload both of these to the SoundCloud eventually, tonight or tomorrow, whenever I get there. I think nobody's gonna want to was gonna care about this shit tomorrow morning. But that be that. Only six here. Gonna be a while. But I bet we're Trump. That's what Jenny Lee says. And she's in mountain time out there, so. Clinton 75, Trump 66. That's the total right now from Gadget Doc at 8.02 p.m. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, what else do we have here? I don't know. Oh, we have some revolutionary history to talk about.
Oh, that's depressing.
Why?
Because of what's going to happen tonight is not very...
It's going to be counter-revolutionary.
Exactly.
It's counter-revolutionary.
But it could lead to... Whatever.
Well, listen to what... Whatchamacall? Fuck. See, my mind is gone. My mind is gone for tonight. We got a lot of good stuff out in the first 35 minutes. I'm glad that we had the first half of the show that we did. Because I think I blew a circuit there. Guys, at the 9 o'clock hour or whenever we go live next, the phone lines are going to be on, and it's going to be totally up to you. You got to call in. Let me know what you're seeing. Let me know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Let's just It's 33 to 38, you said, Mike? Gadget Doc just said it's...
No, it's not. He's getting his ass kicked right now.
Oh, 67?
68 to 67. Refresh that app, Mike.
She's got 88.
That's not 88, 68. That's 88? 68 to 67.
My eyes are fucked up, dude. I thought he was already dead.
Sixes look like eight.
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, Michael Wells and everybody, you do. If you go on if you go into the channel right by the subscribe button, there should be a little bell icon. If you hit that bell, that'll give you a notification. I think you can set it up and all that stuff. But we will be back soon. Pennsylvania, Florida, New Hampshire, too early to call. Hopefully, New Hampshire is the freedom state that we know they are to be.
Not anymore. They're not.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see what Johnny Kimball's state does.
Johnny Kimball, this is up to you.
Yep.
All right, guys. Keep those phones handy. We will be back soon. And that's that. All right, guys. Be good.